Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
It's Matt Spiegel in for Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score. We're going to talk to Joe Buck this hour, but I wanted to continue this conversation because the listeners have responded as we're talking some NFL officiating, and yes, that's right. I have bumped Joe Buck. I bumped him from 1 o'clock to 1:20. We'll see how that works out. Letting you behind the radio curtain, I haven't heard back yet, so we'll see. It might be. I'm sure it's fine. He's at Yankee Stadium. What does he have to do? He's just sitting around waiting for a game.
If it's that big of a deal, he could just call in his Joe from St. Louis.
Remember that? The day after Mitch Trubisky was drafted. And now it can be told, Joe from St. Louis, caller to the Spiegel and Parkins show. bitching about Trubisky.
The text line was great during that because half the people got it and half the people were very confused.
Yes, just as it should be. Talking with you about vasectomies, as you expected. This hour is brought to you by the Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago, and also talking to you about NFL rules. They've tried to make it better over and over and over. Every year they try to make it better. Every year. And then it doesn't get better because there's human beings involved. And the NFL, I think, is fine with the fact that you are angry about it. We are discussing it. It is publicity. It is part of the process. It is part of the week-long breakdown from the game that just happened and what's moving forward. It fills hours and space and column inches and garners web clicks. And it's just part of it. And, it's interesting. I had a texter who said, I think you're way wrong on the rule issues. I think they have a huge problem coming their way. What problem would that be? What's the problem that's coming their way?
Oh, you not watching the play that makes you angry so you can talk about it the next day?
If anything, you're going to go back and watch more replays of it. You'll click on NFL.com. You watch the highlight package like I did on my NFL app this morning on my phone to watch those plays again. To make sure I saw which part of the face it was. And again, the collar, not part of the face, last time I checked. We do have a texter saying, I don't watch. My Sundays are too busy. I got too much going on to allow these refs who don't know what the hell they're doing to call the game. And I'm paraphrasing because, it's farther down in the text. But there's one guy who says he doesn't watch. I don't think the numbers are indicating this, though. The numbers are not indicating this. It is not a problem.
It's not the norm.
No. This text from Jason from Chatham. Jason from Chatham, where you been? It's not just the NFL, it's any sport. Officiating is the hardest thing in the world to do. I've been a player and a coach as well. My refereeing career has been, is 10 times harder. I only do high school and college. I can only imagine what the pros go through. People have to understand sports is an imperfect endeavor, and the X factor in all sports is you will not be able to control everything, just as in life itself. The NFL is the best officials in the world for football. How quickly the public has forgotten what it was like in 2012 with the replacement refs. I encourage all your listeners to sign up and become refs just to see what the experience is like. That's Jason from Chatham. No matter how good they get, they're human beings, and it's going to be imperfect. And people are going to rage against it. They are going to hate it. And that's when Tony played that sound from 1984. The incredibly prescient Orwell 1984. Because what the government did was they decided to tell people what they hated. Tell people what they hated. And that is showing them images of what they hated up on the screen. Let's interrupt your workday and show you what you hate. and people would vent and scream and let it all out, the unrequited rage that everybody has about whatever issues are going on in your life, about anything that happened to you, unjust things, that sense of honor that you have, the unfairness of it all. You scream and you scream, and then they turn off the 2 minutes of hate, and you go back to work, and you feel okay. You process those emotions. That's what bitching about the refs is on some level. That's exactly what it is. So even though you might not know what a penalty is anymore, even though you might not know exactly what hands to the face looks like and what it does not,
you love it.
You love it. And it's going to be part of your world. It's not going anywhere. They rule on 154 plays every game. 122 officials currently in the NFL. But you ask me, I think they're just playing us. Oh, look, we want to make it better, knowing full well that it won't matter. We need the refs. We hate the refs. The NFL provides the refs for us. They enable us to hate the refs, giving us that outlet. It just doesn't really change. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. 67011 is how you get to us via text. And a lot of you getting in on the text line talking about this. The NFL will care when it adversely affects gambling. You think it's not affecting gambling? It's affecting gambling like crazy. You know, when gambling is legal and the NFL as an entity might be losing money, then maybe they'll care. When they're invested and they might be losing dollars to something that they're invested in, well, then maybe they'll care. But right now it's affecting beats on both sides. You know that.
I mean, the whole thing is the house always wins.
Yes.
Like, no matter the outcome, the house will always win.
Mm-hmm. And the house just keeps winning. I keep watching. And there it is. It's 670 The Score. I am Matt Spiegel here with you up until 2 o'clock. Let's go over to Yankee Stadium, where the man is in the midst of the insane double that he does every year. Every year. Joe Buck, your insane double sport season begins. How many years now where you start the NFL season, then take like a 3 week break, sort of, or not really, for the LCS and the World Series? Brenneman gets to work with Aikman for a while. How many years are we doing this, Joe?
Well, let's see. I mean, I've pretty much done that part of it every year that I've done the baseball, which, when I've been on the main football crew, which started in, I guess, 2001.
Wow.
That's kind of how it's always been. But now with the Thursday games, that's added a different wrinkle, which last year there were no days that were conflicted with baseball and football on the same day on a Thursday. But this year there is. So I'm leaving here tomorrow night after the game. If there is a game, there could be weather. And going to Denver and then trying to get back for game five if it's here at Yankee Stadium on Friday, or game six if everything is scheduled in Houston on Saturday.
Who could keep track? It's unbelievable. Last year, I think you did MLB on Tuesday and Wednesday, the NFL Thursday, and then MLB Friday and Saturday. Did you do NFL on Sunday last year?
I never have done NFL on Sundays during these.
Gotcha.
And our group only does the Sunday late game now if Fox has it. So that's a change. So this week they're doing the Bears and the Saints, which kills me because I don't like missing trips to Chicago, but I am missing a trip to Chicago.
Oh my God. And does Troy get Brenneman again? Is that what he
does?
So
yes.
So do you miss Troy, and does Troy miss you? Like, while he's getting some strange with Thom, like I hope that Troy's fire will still burn. What's that?
Yeah, I've never thought of it that way. Yeah, he's actually cheating on me.
Yes.
Somehow.
Yes.
We FaceTime during the game. So, you know, if I'm doing a baseball game or getting ready for one on a Sunday, you know, I want to make sure to feel like I'm there. So, and we'll write letters, long-winded letters on hotel stationery to each other. And yeah, no, we don't even speak until I show up in the booth at the next game.
Yeah, I mean, but he's going to get used to Brenneman's rhythms, and it's sensual what you guys do.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. There's a lot of that going on, but I don't really like talking about it on the radio.
I know you once did a football game in the afternoon and an MLB playoff game at night, or more than once did you do that. San Francisco, I think?
That was in San Francisco. The New York football Giants against the 49ers, and then went over and did the Cardinals at the San Francisco baseball Giants that night.
Wow.
But the highlight of that day was the first time I spoke to a woman who was at the football game for NFL Network, and that woman eventually became my wife.
Wow.
So it was kind of a triple header, and it just went downhill after the coffee line before the football game early in the afternoon.
The coffee line is where it happened, or you had a pickup line.
It was basically a stalking, you know, a nice stalking, nothing creepy or anything. But we have a little Keurig coffee machine in our booth. I saw her in the coffee line, and I said to Troy, I was like, "Hey, she's in the coffee line now. I'm going to miraculously need to go get a cup of coffee." So I went into the bathroom and I gently placed my hair, what's remaining of it, in all the right places, and made sure everything was tucked in, and I looked as thin as possible. And I walked into the coffee line and just brought about some of the greatest pickup material I had ever created in my mind.
Wow. That's beautiful. So you look back on that day, and the highlight is instead the coffee line, and now you guys have twins. You have short human beings.
There's more to that story, because really the low light was the trip from then Candlestick Park to then AT&T Park, because they thought it would be cool if I did it on a trolley, because it was San Francisco. And we had a police escort. The police escort was no help at all. And we were in a trolley that was going about 8 miles an hour. And we were getting rapidly approaching the first pitch. And I'm talking to the driver. I said, "Is this as fast as this thing goes?" He's like, "No, it can get up to 50, 55 miles an hour." I said, "Well, let's go." And he hit it. And I got there and I ran into the booth. And I flung the door open and I crushed who was it that was there? Somebody was there that I wasn't even aware of to do the game in case I didn't show up. Darren Sutton. He was in the corner of the booth with a coat and tie on and his scorebook. McCarver was wide-eyed in front of the camera. I come busting into the booth. I look over to my left. There's Darren Sutton, like, "Wah, wah, you don't get to do the playoff game." And I look at Tim's. He's like, "Where the hell have you been? And please, let's figure out what we're about to talk about on national TV in our stand-up."
Oh, that's phenomenal. See, Darren Sutton there. It's like these guys just circling your orbit, Joe Buck. Like this Joe Davis kid, look, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he is the embodiment of the people that will eventually take all of our jobs. He's young, he's handsome, he's smooth as hell. He's much too capable for my liking. You know what I mean?
No, that's well said. I agree. You know, I've kind of championed him to Fox, and now that he's getting awfully close, I'm going to have to, like, you know, work the back channels to get him evicted out of this whole thing.
Seriously, I hope Smoltz doesn't like him, you know?
No, he does. That's the thing that kind of, I'm like, how was it with Joe? And I you know, if I'm not there for like the division series, I'm doing football. And he's like, "Oh, it was great." I'm like, "Oh, God."
Well, you and Smoltz are really good together. And with Verducci and Rosenthal, this is our World Series crew for whichever of these teams gets the Washington Nationals, who are just absolutely on fire. You get Gerrit Cole at Yankee Stadium today. How's this matchup living up for you? The Yankees, Astros again, two absolute juggernauts. It's been entertaining stuff.
Yeah, it's the best matchup. This is as good as baseball can be, I think, in this series. I think it points out, you know, two teams. Obviously, they got a lot of money, so you have to throw that out there. But I think, you know, certainly in the case of the Astros, they've scouted really well. And then they've added, you know, they've added through trades. They've added through free agency. The trade they made to get Verlander paid off immediately. They won it all that year in 2017. And then, you know, they made that deal to get Gerrit Cole, and he's been unbeatable since May. So it's truly remarkable what he's done. And then the Yankees, they're a fun team to watch, and they're scrappy. And they had 30 different players go on the injured list, and it was a major league record, and yet they won 103 games. So, you know, they both dealt with their fair share of issues during the course of the year, but these are the two best teams, and I'm excited to watch Gerrit Cole try to navigate this Yankee lineup, and he'll be doing it with not only a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but shadows that are going to creep toward home plate, because it is absolutely ideal weather-wise here today.
Oh, wow. So there's a little teaser, folks. When you tune into the game later on, after I'm off the air, and that's the only reason I tell you to tune in, is that some Lee Smith kind of like Rich Gossage Wrigley shadows for the afternoon tilt, huh, Joe?
That's right. I haven't seen many seagulls like flying around, or pigeons or any of those looking for old popcorn or hot dog buns, but yeah, it's that time of day. And you know, we've talked to the players already, talked to the two managers, and AJ Hinch, you know, he said it best, you know, you get to the end of the game and we've got a pitcher that's still throwing 98, 99 miles an hour. Huh. It's really hard to take him out of the game. It's like, who do you go to? And he said, that's not an indictment on my bullpen. He said that would hold true for really any team. So he's that good. And he's that big of a difference maker, and he has a chance today to swing this ALCS in the favor of the Astros. So, you know, there's a lot on the line here.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole in a contract year doing that. Anthony Rendon in a contract year in the other series. Good timing, man. Good timing.
Yeah, tends to work out that way. It's like the postseason that, I guess it was 04, that Carlos Beltran had with Houston, and then the next thing you know, he's a billionaire with the Mets.
I thought of you this week, Joe, and not for the usual reasons that I often think of you. I thought of you.
Good.
Because David Freese retired, and last time we were together on a Sunday morning on Hit and Run, we played your call, and we'll see you tomorrow night, as well as your father's call for Kirby Puckett, but yours for David Freese and your dad's for Kirby Puckett, and it was special. So I decided I want to do a wacky radio bit with you, okay?
Okay.
The buck stops there is my idea. I know it's clever. I know. You see what I did.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks. Because you've been on site and on the call for some of the greatest baseball or football moments of the past couple decades. And you ever make a personal list, by the way? I mean, your list must be outrageous of stuff.
No, I have a massive, I have a massive head, but I have a massive ego. And I think that's even next level. No, I don't sit around making a list.
I've found something even beyond the ego of Joe Buck. That's impressive.
Yeah, I what an ass. Yeah, let me hold on a second. Let me get this out of my pocket here. It's in my nightstand next to my bed. My alarm clock doesn't play a radio. It just applauds.
Right. Your wife's like, can you change some diapers? Hold on, honey. I'm updating the list.
The list. I'll be right in. Yeah. Give me an hour.
All right. Well, I thought of this one because Bernie Williams was telling me about it, that when Luis Gonzalez hit the game winner against Mariano Rivera to win the 2001 World Series, Bernie said that play lingers for him more than any of his triumphs. He said, it was right in front of me. I had to go pick it up. And I hadn't thought about that. So I went back to watch the video, and you can see Bernie's like the last guy to run off. You know, he's the last guy to run off the field as the Diamondbacks are celebrating. But let's listen to it for a second, because I had forgotten what preceded the play.
The chance of a lifetime for Luis Gonzalez. 2-2, bottom of the ninth. Game 7 of the World Series. Bases loaded. Infield in. One out.
The one problem is Rivera throws inside the left-handers, and left-handers get a lot of broken bat hits in the shallow outfield. The shallow part of the outfield. That's the danger in bringing the infield in with a guy like Rivera on the mound.
Floater. Center field. The Diamondbacks are world champions.
I mean, come on. Tim McCarver with that's unbelievable. And I had forgotten that he called it to that level and that degree.
Yeah, it is, and I've said this without prompting when people have asked me, you know, what are some of your most favorite moments in the booth? That's right at the top of the list, because I don't think any analyst has ever looked forward and made a statement on something and have it come true on the very next play or the very next pitch or the very next whatever. I thought it was remarkable, and you want to get in the middle of all that crowd noise and go, Tim, you called it. That's exactly what happened. But you just, you know, I gave him a thumbs up and like gave him a high five, like, wow, that was awesome. And it was. I can't think of an example of that that I've heard, at least, of somebody predicting with that much on the line. I mean, it happens from time to time, but not like that.
No, with that specificity, too. I mean, last night Ron Darling said Adam Eaton's a first pitch guy, and he swung at the first pitch and got a single up the middle. But this is to win the World Series, and he called exactly what the hit was.
Yeah. And did it with a guy at the plate facing somebody who was literally automatic. You know, we had done so many moments where Rivera just shut it down. When he came out of that bullpen, it was over. And that time it wasn't. And that was an incredible postseason, just because of, you know, they're playing it on the big scoreboard here right now at Yankee Stadium. It's just amazing with 9/11 it happened and you know, all the emotion and being in New York and the first pitch by President Bush and then kind of the back and forth of that series. It's just remarkable.
I as always, Joe, I get texts like these. Please tell Joe Buck that Sox fans love him for his call 14 years ago, and they're quoting the call. So I get texts like that. And then I also get texts like this. His calls on the White Sox World Series were terrible. He sounded disappointed that the White Sox won.
Well, I was, because I was a huge Astros fan back then. I was so depressed. It took me months to get over that. I was like, oh, my God, my Astros lost.
Yeah, right. That's understandable. Guy who grew up in St. Louis, but you were a big Cesar Cedeno guy, which nobody
knew.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, he ended his career in St. Louis. But the funny thing is about that, and the obvious thing is, you know, when you listen to, especially White Sox, my God, I can't think of a broadcaster that, you know, if that was my team, you're listening to that television broadcast and Hawk doing his thing, you know,
right.
They are unabashed Sox fans, and with good reason. You know, they win, they get a ring, they get a paycheck from the organization or from the network that carries them, and we don't do the game like that. So when we show up and we get excited for the other team, everybody's like, well, what the hell, he hates my ball club. And that's just never the case. So that was one where, you know, that was such a dominant postseason by that White Sox team that it really wasn't even a contest. So, yeah, no, I wasn't rooting for either side. Never have, never will.
Oh, man, that Astros tattoo that you have, though, it's a good look.
Well, it was unfortunate, but I've been able to turn it into some huge dragon on my back.
Well done. And then I got this tweet. I used to love to hate Joe Buck. Now I hate that I didn't love Joe Buck. So there
well,
you
that's
go.
Well, first of all, was it Wordsworth now tweeting? How do you even come up with this? It's like the most amazing sentence I've ever heard.
I don't know. I don't know if Wordsworth is on Twitter. Yeah, I think Keats is. I think Keats is
Keats,
on Twitter. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But
And I'm an English major at Indiana, and I can't really tell you anything Keats wrote. So that's
no.
An indictment on IU.
No, I got nothing on Keats either, except the name. That was enough for me. All right, Joe, go do a ball game. Thanks, man. Appreciate you very much.
Of course. Anytime for you. You're the one and only.
Oh, God. Don't. You're sweet like that. Have a good ball game, and I hope Joe Davis is not so good with Smoltz, and I hope Brenneman fumbles a lot with Troy.
These booths have, you know, they're locks on the doors. They need to know that.
It's understandable. By the way, I saw they zoomed out at the Cowboys game the other day, and I saw Nance and Romo's booth. That's enormous. That's unbelievable. There's like nine guys in there. Do you have booth envy, or do you get to use the same booth when you're there?
No, we get the same booth. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, stupid question. Glad I ended on a dumb note.
No, we get the same booth, but I don't know, was it at Dallas or was it the game at the Jets?
Boy, that's a good question. You'd think I would have known.
Was it 2 days ago?
Yeah, it's 2 days ago.
Yeah, that was at the Jets. But the beauty is, in Dallas, we have a sushi tray that'll just knock your socks off because it's Troy. I mean, he and Irvin and Smith built that place for him.
Wow, so that's why you're there that much.
It's all about the sushi. Yeah. It has nothing to do with rating.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world now.
Yes.
All right, Joe. Thank you, sir.
Hey.
Yeah.
You go get them, all right? You make me proud.
I'll do that over the next 32 minutes. You got it.
All right. See you.
Thanks. Thanks, Joe. That's Joe Buck of Fox Sports. Isn't it funny, like, if you never hear a guy just in conversation or just BSing around, and you only hear, like, the tone with which he does a ball game, you don't know the person. You just don't. So it's been instructive for me, that's for sure. Matt Spiegel in for Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony Gill, you're the best. That's right. That's the Thompson Twins. I wanted to get in for Joe Buck because that's his jam. Actually, this song is my jam. I will stand up and defend Hold Me Now by the Thompson Twins to the end.
This song slaps. It slaps.
Right?
Yeah.
Come on, man. It owned me, too. I remember as a kid walking around, singing loud, singing all the parts. The B-section is good. You cut it with the B-section? Probably not. It would be right here. No, I understand. You looped the bed. It's well done. Well done by you. Several people texting and tweeting about the Buck interview. And appreciate that. Interview just made my day. What a fun listen. He's funny on Brockmire. Spiegs, your date with Buck was going so well until your last two questions. Yes, disaster. Totally, absolutely true. But I thought about it. I'm watching Jets Cowboys, and I see that they zoom out from the Nance and Romo shot in the booth. There's like 9 people in the booth. It's so big and so wide. I'm thinking, does he have booth envy? And it really wasn't until today that I realized it's probably the same booth that he and Troy get to use. So... this text, I am confident that Buck loves Aaron Rodgers. See, it's still there. My favorite was this. During Cubs and Dodgers, I forget who the Dodger was, but there were pictures that people put out there. Oh, no, it was Cubs-Indians. People put out pictures of Buck and Kyle Schwarber in a tuxedo and a wedding dress. They made the meme, and they've done that with Rodgers before too, but they did it with Schwarber because the Schwarber story was unbelievable. Schwarber hadn't played all year, right? He rehabs all year and then shows up after taking some swings in Arizona, and all of a sudden he's spitting on Andrew Miller sliders and hitting the ball well in the World Series. And Cub fans, I think, had done a wedding thing with him and Lindor with like a tuxedo and a wedding dress. He hates all your teams. This one, the passed out at a tiki hut on a pot brownie story is my favorite Joe Buck story. Yeah, that's a good one. He's told it before. I should get him to tell another time. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. This segment is sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. The meals come to your door. You eat the food and lose the weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. And the bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern football at Ryan Field this fall when the Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. The Nationals are up 3-0 with a chance to close out the Cardinals, and that's delightful. I'm very much enjoying that the Cardinals will be sent away from these playoffs. Just as I wanted the Rays to go away from the playoffs, because I want the best teams. The Nationals are, how can you not say they're the best team in the National League? Their main problem was the bullpen. They have dealt with it in the postseason, They're the best team in this postseason. They've dealt with it in a number of ways. Sean Doolittle is now a lefty they throw at any difficult stretch of hitters. No longer the closer. Daniel Hudson is a closer they can trust, and they use their starters. They have used their starters, Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin, even though one time they did with Corbin, it was a disaster, but they've used their starters as super starters to solidify the bullpen, which was the only issue. You see the rest of it, and the rest of it is not an issue. There is a big takeaway from the Nationals doing what they're doing without Bryce Harper, but I don't think it's the one that others have said. So I want to share with you what that takeaway is for the Nationals doing what they're doing without Bryce Harper and as it relates to the Cubs. We'll talk about that next and then eventually transition with Mac and Parkins on 670 The Score. Oh, this city does look pretty. And that's Courtney Barnett. That album still owns me. Owns me! Looking for plumbing and heating supplies? Don't fumble away your time and money with those other places. Go to supplyhouse.com. Next day delivery. Industry low prices. And replacement parts you can't find anywhere else. Supplyhouse.com. Your online supplier for plumbing, heating, and HVAC. Take it to the house. Supplyhouse.com. And the new sports book at Ameristar East Chicago has all the action, real-time odds, and the best prop bets. Plus, with fast 24-hour betting kiosks, there's no waiting. So grab the crew and come to the new sports book at Ameristar East Chicago. Must be 21. To learn more, see the My Choice Center. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. So here's the takeaway from the Nationals doing what they're doing without Bryce Harper. First of all, as you've watched that team this year, maybe you saw him come into town and sweep away the Cubs, you know that offensively they do what Joe Maddon wanted the Cubs to do for years. They do what Theo and Jed have been trying and to put together and make happen, but have failed. The lineup diversification. Bunch of different kinds of hitters who get things done in different ways. You can't attack the Nationals with one plan and beat them. You're John Flaherty. You got to think about a different plan for all these different guys. And it's just, it's harder to game plan for them. They have four possible leadoff hitters. They have four guys who would lead off for these Cubs now that Victor Robles is back. And those guys are Trey Turner, the leadoff hitter, Adam Eaton, who basically is a leadoff hitter in the two-hole, Robles, who didn't have an OPS of 800, but has all the tools and steals and will eventually be a top-of-the-order caliber hitter, Robles. And I stand by the four, because the fourth guy I said at the time that people laughed at me is Howie Kendrick. And that dude, I know he's 36, but man, he is the real deal as a hitter, always has been in terms of contact. I love that dude. And his defense is bad everywhere now and has been bad in these playoffs. But boy, can he hit. I'd love to see him as a Cub. But he's 36 and the defense is bad. So maybe it doesn't make sense. But he's the kind of bat you want and need. And I love that dude. They have a true superstar at third base. Anthony Rendon has the second highest WAR over the last three seasons in all of baseball. Mike Trout is one. Anthony Rendon is two over the last three seasons. Okay? He is the full package. You saw some defense last night. They have swing and miss aces at the top of the rotation, like the Cubs do not, obviously, other than Yu Darvish when he's on. Like the Red Sox did, Theo and Jed's Red Sox had Pedro and Josh Beckett or Curt Schilling, swing and miss, aces at the top of the rotation. And here's what they have, and this is the big takeaway from the Nationals doing what they're doing without Bryce Harper. You know why they've been able to do it? Because they have a steady supply of elite, young, cheap talent. Trey Turner's in what, year three? Soto's in year two. Robles, I believe, is technically a rookie, if not in year two. Those guys cost nothing and are truly excellent. Soto and Rendon is maybe the best 3-4 in the league. Right up there. And when you have guys like that who are young and cheap, then you can spend money on Patrick Corbin and let Bryce Harper walk. And look how good Patrick Corbin was them, good for them this year. You can spend money on other things and let Bryce Harper walk when you have cheap, young talent. The Cubs' cheap young talent has dried up, folks. Ain't nobody coming through that door. When you're the Astros and Yordan Alvarez shows up as cheap young talent, when you still haven't paid Carlos Correa in full, you know, then you can do other things. So that's the main takeaway from doing this without Bryce Harper for the Nationals. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and do transition with Mac and Parkins next on 670 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.